Welcome, friends. I'm Marlene, M-A-R-L-E-N-E. You know me as a voice that comes out of the air, but I'm a real person with all the hopes, dreams, insecurities, failures, and successes that many of you have. I grew up on a small dairy farm in the northern United States. I was the fourth of five children. In the early years, my father was hospitalized twice for life-threatening illnesses. Twice he and my mother sold everything but the land to live until he was able to work again. Most of my years at home, my father worked the farm and another job. When I was five, my mother also went to work. My mother tells the story of father's second illness. He had a rupture in his stomach. There was no money for doctors, so he stayed home 3 days before my mother insisted and took him to the hospital. They operated immediately. It was very bad. The doctor told my mother he would die in the night unless God intervened. My mother called the church, where people were gathering for midweek prayer. It was during that hour of prayer that my father was given back his life. Recovery was long but certain. There was no doubt in the doctor's mind or anyone else's that God had intervened. I tell this story to encourage you to share your stories of answered prayer. We as Christians are living the book of Acts. The stories in the Bible were passed from parents to children for generations. Our children need to know that the story continues. Knowing this has made my faith stronger. There was always plenty of work to do on the farm with both parents working. Still, we found time to attend church meetings twice on Sunday and again on Wednesday evenings. Meals were always blessed with prayer, as was bedtime. It was in the fall of my seventh year that I came to the understanding that my parents' faith was not enough. Going to church was not enough. And it was a fear of hell that first brought me to ask the Lord to be my Savior. As I grew, I came to understand the mercy, love, compassion, patience, and sacrifice of my Savior, and the fear was replaced with honor and respect for an Almighty God. As my years continue, I am impressed even more with His greatness and my smallness, and the fact that He loves even me. My early school years through high school, I'd like to forget. I was a quiet, sloppy little girl who was always watching the others but never really feeling welcomed to join in. To this day, I have no friends from my school years, but I look back and consider this a blessing in disguise. I would have done anything to be included, but no one wanted me. As a result, I have no regrets. While my classmates were partying, I was safe at home with a book. At 16, a college boy from church noticed me. By 19, I was married. At 20, I completed my final formal education as a registered nurse. Now the real education begins, life. I have no formal Bible schooling. But as a children's teacher for 30 years, I learned to study the Bible. The church, God's Word, the Holy Spirit, and all those years of Sunday school have come together to make me the person that I am today. I cannot stress enough the fellowship with believers, the church. It is through the church that we fulfill Christ's commands to bear one another's burdens, correct in love, come together to break bread, rightly divide the word of truth, to encourage one another in faith. It is belief and faith in God that has made me a woman of possibilities. So much so that when our sons were 10 and 13, we adopted an 18-year-old boy from a third world country. Our friends said we were crazy. What if he steals or murders you in your beds? But together, my husband and I had peace that God had put this together. It was His plan. As we moved into our midlife years and our sons became more and more independent, I branched out and did more Christian outreach. I stopped teaching Sunday school and started a Bible club for children after school in my home. Soon we had 28 children and moved to a nearby church. On Sundays, I drove a 15-passenger van to Sunday school, and it was full every week. Thinking all was as it should be, but experiencing a restlessness in spirit, it was not until my husband asked me to sit and talk one evening that I discovered he was experiencing the same restlessness and was hesitant to speak because of my success in local ministries. It was then that we made plans to clear our plates, so to speak, and get ready for whatever God had in store for us. We were sure there was something more. In the next 2 years, we sold our worldly possessions and packed up our now grown but not settled children's things. And with our children's blessing, we sold the only home they had ever known and moved into an apartment where God continued to use us to minister to our new neighbors. In October, my husband told the school where he taught that he would not be renewing his teaching contract. It wasn't until the following February that we were called to Taiwan to teach. The rush for passports, finishing the school year, and clearing out the last of our possessions was challenging. The week school was out, we left to say goodbye to our parents and sons, driving to Texas 4,000 miles to say goodbye to the youngest and the oldest. Leaving our car with the youngest, we flew to Taiwan August 1st, 2003, our first time overseas. We left the United States with three personal goals: to serve God in our workplace, to serve God in our church, and to have an outreach for God in our new community. We have met our goals and continue to find new ways to serve as circumstances challenge. It is so exciting to see what God has done. Here we are, living, teaching, serving in a foreign country and loving it. Never had I imagined I would be doing the things I do, teaching a classroom of students. You've got to be kidding. Co-hosting a spot on a radio program? No way. God has a great sense of humor. I could not have made my life more interesting. Now the time has come for a new chapter in my life, our lives. It's time for us to return to the United States. For a time, we will be homeless, living with family. We are both eagerly anticipating what God has for us. Way back in the beginning, a beloved sister in Christ came to me and shared Isaiah 58:11. I'd like to share that with you now. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I want to emphasize the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs. Wherever you are, whether you're in a sun-scorched land or a coldy, icy, cold place. But God is real. and He wants to lead you. He is leading. Our responsibility is to follow. I cannot emphasize enough that God has a plan for you. You just need to follow. Listening takes practice. And as for us, it took Him 50 years to get us in a place where we were ready and able and He could use us. And He transplanted us to Taiwan. It's been the adventure of a lifetime. And now, we're getting ready to go on another one, back home in the United States. Our adopted son, James, is now 40 years old. He's back in his country, Nepal, where he has a ministry for God of his own. He and his American wife and three children now live in Nepal. They have a children's home where they minister to another 15 children who have no families. These children are growing up to know the Savior. They are blessed to be in this home. He also has a church ministry and is reaching out to the families of the children that he serves in the home by going out to their villages to minister to family members there, relatives who are living a very poor, simple lifestyle and were not able to take in another child. So God did use us, and He has blessed us. And we're still alive. We were not murdered in our beds, and He did not steal from us. It was only a blessing that we were able to serve God in that way. And we thank God daily that He brought James into our lives. Our other sons are serving God, one in Virginia and one in Oregon. We pray for them all. We ask that you particularly pray for James and his ministry, though. It's very difficult, and it's a very dark land in Nepal. And there are many problems and many trials that they must overcome, working with a people who are so used to corruption in their land, who have lived in a country that has been torn by civil war for 50 years. It's a very difficult time and a very difficult place to be. Thank you for letting me share this with you. Goodbye.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love. Savior lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, oh fear is gone, because I know all He holds the future, and life is worth the living. Because He lives, because He lives. I know how he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight like thine, the well with pen. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, then I'll know he lives. Because he face tomorrow, because he lives. Oh, fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. And life is worth because he lives, and life is worth living just because